Most of us are aware that social media does affect our psyche, even though we're not quite sure how or to what extent it does. But have you ever wondered how it affects your spiritual journey? How it affects how you navigate your beliefs? The online world is one where you can quite literally become anyone you want. Where you can reconstruct your life experiences into anything that you can imagine. But have you ever thought of how much control you actually have? Or are your perceptions actually being formulated for you?
By whom? For what purpose?
For those of us using social media to help us understand African spirituality better, it can be quite tricky to figure out how real our online experiences actually are and how to make sense of how these platforms actually influence how we view the world and our beliefs. This is a two-part series, and in this particular episode, to get a better understanding of how social media works, I spoke to Katleho Bontle Mutingwe. Katleho works in digital marketing and out-of-home advertising and brand building as well, and she has years of experience in the digital media space.
Basically, this whole episode is about African spirituality and technology. And the reason I wanted to speak to you is because I want to get almost a technical understanding of technology and especially social media, right? The reason for this is that I want to understand almost as brutally honestly as I can what is it this world that I'm in, right? I want to understand how social media shapes our world. And the reason I'm doing this, the reason I want you to hear it from you, is that before we even talk about spirituality, I want to understand this world that is the internet, that is social media, because I want to make sure that I am not fooling myself into believing something that might not necessarily be true.
I think the question there is, what is your belief in the sense that if you say you don't want to be fooled into believing something that's not there, mm-hmm. The question is, what is your belief?
The example that I want to give you is the Capitol Hill riots in America. Yeah. And a big part of the people who went there are believers of this, I suppose, movement called QAnon, right? And the basic breakdown of it is that QAnon people or believers believe that Donald Trump is some kind of a god. Yeah. And he's supposed to bring about some kind of biblical change in America. This whole movement started and exists online. So it sort of shows the power to which the engagements that we have online can lead to real life consequences, or people can actually live in a world where they have convinced themselves of something that might not necessarily be true, because they have not understood the mechanisms of how social media works and how the internet works. So I want to make sure that I, as someone who is embracing African spirituality, am not being shortcut by the mechanisms of social media into believing that African spirituality might be truer than it actually is or bigger than it actually is. You see what I mean? I want to make sure that I am very aware of what it is that I am navigating through, and I'm aware of how it works, and I can jump or sort of see when, you know, the mechanism of it is at play. You understand?
So it's like what happens on Twitter, actually, and funny I speak of Twitter, is the trend of manifestation and mm-hmm. how it started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you look at, I don't know who started it, but I know it's there, mm-hmm. right? But if you look at that world, so maybe let me backtrack. So social media is obviously a big space to play in, which is the internet, yes. Right? Social media is good and social media is bad. And I'm going to use simple English in this instance so that everybody kind of understands what we're talking about. There's social media for business, there's social media for social, there's social media for whatever people want to use it for. And you will start seeing, and this is something I became cognizant of, and I don't know if because I work in the digital space and I'm always kind of looking at trends and what people are doing and so forth, but when we as the millennials, right, woke up to our spiritual callings, it became a topic of kifeshin, you know, we're doing it for people, we're doing it for the streets, we're doing it for the gram, we're doing it for everything. Why? Is because we're so used to using social media for everything that we do in our lives. And people couldn't really divide the two, which is the spirit and the technology. Ne? Now, the question that came was, is technology bad for this journey that people are going through? And why are people posting on social media? Right? Then the other conversation popped up of because gifeshin, everybody now is now getting into it. We're seeing more of it on social media. We're having conversations on social media. We have izangoma and prophets and healers or everybody else now on social media doing webinars, you know, creating groups, creating pages, you know, talking about these things free, I mean, willy-nilly, you know what I mean, and so forth. And all of that is just overwhelming for a new world, because you could literally say that was a new world that came into social media spaces, right? Now you can't take that away and you can't take it back, because the reality is that social media has become a very big part of our lives. You know, there are people that use more of it, there are people that use less of it, there are people that are just in between, and it's just social media. But I think the biggest lesson here for me is being as open and honest about the things that we do. And so, and it's unfortunate that in terms of the spiritual world, you can't tell motho hore uskabangaka, ibangaka, you know? You can't be a healer, you can't be a prophet, you can't do this, you can't do that. And unfortunately, the cons of social media is that whether people lie or not, we are not a Jesus to come and tell you whether you're lying or not. We are not prophets as well to say, but mutomaka, this is not their gift, this is what. And people take advantage of those situations. And now basically, you know. And I think that is the downfall of certain things and how certain people get hacked, how certain people get dribbled, if I could use that word, and how people kind of just fall into this world that you're talking about, you know, of this is what it means to be on social media. I've joined a group, so this is what they believe, and speaking to people's beliefs as well, you know. So that's the rather unfortunate element for me on social media.
Yeah. Now, I want to approach it from back to basics point of view. Like, let's strip it all down, because I think we're functioning on a level where we assume that we are all thinking about the same thing when we're talking about social media and how it functions. So I just want to establish a base. What is an algorithm?
An algorithm is, I want to make it easier.
Please.
Like the next person understands.
Please.
So I'm going to say it's a tool. And the social media gods are probably going to kill me for it and everything else. But to simplify it, it is a tool that is sitting on an operating system somewhere. Ne?
Yeah.
That listens, or rather tracks activity, online activity. of everybody and anyone that is on the internet, on social media platforms, and as we call it in the office, the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So that's how you can think of it. If you literally think of an algorithm, it's a tool or something that sits on an operating system that tracks and listens to anything and everything you're doing.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. I don't know if you've watched The Great Hack, but I remember it trended a lot during lockdown, and people were talking about it, and people were kind of shocked at the findings that came and the insights that came with that. And there was one scene or something that they did where these two people were in like a lab or whatever it is, and they're tracking Vusi's patterns and behavior. You know, they realized that Vusi has not been online for like a day or two, and this is when Vusi had given up his phone at home, because he's always on his phone, and you know, it was a test on whether he can have his phone or not. Now, just before Vusi gave up his phone, the conversation that was happening in that lab was, okay, let's actually check what his behavioral patterns have been and how we can actually entice this person to actually kind of just log on, you know, and just sit on his phone. And they did that. So meaning they have access to the back end of this ecosystem. And the back end means everything that Vusi has ever logged into. So whether it's Instagram, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook,
even
whether
when you're incognito.
Yes, you know, even when you're incognito, actually, you know, so it's weird because people don't understand that. Like, if you're logged on to the internet somewhere, somehow, they will find you.
Sorry,
you
know? Gents. So they know.
They know.
They know.
So that is an algorithm, because they tracked the behavior, you know, they tracked everything you're doing. And all they literally did was pop a notification that says a podcast has released a conversation with Vusi with Cyril Ramaphosa, for instance. And everybody's going to be intrigued, because now people want to know what it is that you're talking about, and that's how we are lured into all these things. You know, that's how we are served ads. I know I work in the advertising industry, so I'm always looking at what my target audience is doing, their behavioral patterns and so forth, and those are the things that we look into. And with all the tools that we use in digital, right, it's so easy to serve you an ad that will entice you. It's so easy to serve you something that will make you click a like or a retweet or a follow or whatever it is. So algorithm is exactly that, tracking people's behavior, what they like, what they're listening to, you know, where they're walking. I mean, Google in itself, when I sit in my car, it'll tell me 25 minutes to home, you know?
So it knows you're in your car.
It knows I'm in my car. Like a statakului. You know, Waze, for instance, because I'm always using Waze. Waze will say to me, you have parked your car at a certain location. So, gore ke timile koloi neng, gore ke tswile neng, or whatever. Those are algorithms. And you would be very shocked because, well, I guess I'm not shocked because we've got CarPlay. I mean, I have CarPlay in my car. I use Waze with my car connected to my phone and so forth. So I'm assuming that even operating system, ya koloi in itself, because it's connected to our phones, that is all part of the ecosystem.
And being part of this ecosystem and the algorithm mechanizing these processes, does the algorithm have a goal in mind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I'm in advertising.
Okay.
Right? But anyway, I feel like it's a yes and a no, right? The yes in a sense, ya gore, because of advertising, right, we are obviously looking for what the consumer behavior, and we want to know where you're sitting, what you're doing, with who, how, and so forth, and. Because we actually live in a world where everything is sold to you. You know, your bed is sold to you, your toothbrush is sold to you, your toothpaste is sold to you. So all that information kind of helps us sell all those products to you. So I want to know how you feel sitting on that couch right now. You know, I want to know, are you comfortable? You know, you're probably going to tweet about it, or you're probably going to take a picture and so forth and so forth. And all those things are kind of linked. So the goal is to find out what your behaviors are so that I'm able to help brands sell to you. The no for me is also no, in a sense, Yahori, they don't always kind of get it right, you know, of what it is that you're doing or you're searching and what your behaviors are and so forth, you know. So that's a no, but my no is sitting on like 5%, 6%, just because I can say no. But a big part of me is that there's always a goal in everything that is done. So, yes.
So it's morning, I wake up, I reach for my phone, I log in. The majority of the people that I personally engage with online in terms of spirituality embrace African spirituality.
Sure.
The vast majority of them.
Yeah.
I very rarely get into fights with people who sort of talk it down, or I go after them and say, you know, or defend it or whatever. You know, it's a pretty comfortable space, or it's a pretty comfortable environment for me and my personal beliefs. Let's say 80% of people online think the way that I do in my little bubble. In my real life, 80% of the people in my life don't agree, do not embrace African spirituality, right? So now I'm trying to understand, there's this disconnect, and it almost feels like it's two different worlds that I'm living in. And because when we talk about social media, we're talking about the internet, there's a sense of it not being as real as my real life, you know. So how do I sort of process these two things? Is it a real world? Is this bubble that I'm in with my however many friends who all agree with me, is it a real world, or is it a make-believe world?
There's two ways for me to it. It can be real. It can be a false world as well. Fantasy world. One. What is it?
Fantasy.
No. There's that cartoon where kids go into this fantasy Wonder Park or whatever it is. Yeah. So it's exactly that for some people. Where there are people that are as genuine as they can be and have kind of built a profile and a persona that they use on social media.
Yes. I'm very much interested.
And then there's people who have a completely different persona on social media than they do in real life. You know what I mean? And with that, it's unfortunate because of societal pressures and things around us. There are people that feel that they cannot lose this facade of being, I'll use KBM myself, you know, I'm KBM on social media and people know who I am, what I'm about, what I'm doing. And I cannot break because all these people glorify everything that I do and everything about me. So because I'm human, I seek that validation from people in the streets. And I'll say the streets because social media is the streets as well, you know. I seek the validation, I seek the assurance, you know, I seek the love that they give me, the attention and so forth. In the real world, you're dealing with people with their day-to-day emotions, you know. I mean, we're sitting here together and you might know my social media persona. Let's say it's a different persona, right? You might know my social media persona, but as soon as I sit and I have a conversation with you, it clicks that, but hold on, this is not the person I know from social media, you know? This person's very different. Why? Now, you will notice that there are a lot of people that are keyboard warriors or hide behind their keyboards because it's easy. It's a persona that people are not going to question whether you're doing it right, you're doing it wrong. It's all a keyboard persona, and that's all it is. You know, people don't have to see how you're feeling when you're typing. You know, people don't have to express themselves as openly. You know, people don't, like, people just don't see you behind that keyboard, and all they see is what you've served them on social media, right? So I think that's where the disfunct is that people have different personas.
Yeah.
And you can't help it. Yeah. Like I said, I guess it then goes into a conversation of societal pressures, mm. you know, mm. And the things around us. Mm. And societal pressures could literally be from family pressure, friendship circles, which is social circles, mm. career, work pressures, and so forth, mm. and
yeah.
you know. So that's all different.
Yeah.
That honestly is all different, mm. you know. Mm. And I always refer to the movie The Joker because that explains the perfect scenario. Mm. And if you look at The Joker,
yeah.
his job is to make people laugh,
yeah.
right? His job is to make sure that all these kids are having fun and they think he's the funniest person on earth mm. and he's the coolest person on earth because he's got this face and he's got mm. everything. But I love how on The Joker, every time he pulls this mask off, if you look at the expression on his face,
it's like his face just falls.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
So that's exactly what social media is.
Yeah.
For me, it's with some people,
yeah.
it's the mask.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And if you remember the movie The Mask as well, mm. is that every time he wore the mask, he was a super guy. He was everything, and
yeah.
you know. I yeah. think the one line that I'll never forget is "Smoke it." Like you always used to think the mask didn't have is like catchphrases, you know,
hashtag.
Yes, you know. Yes. So when the Joker and the mask both pull off their masks, then they have to deal with the reality of being themselves. Yeah. These are depressed people. These are people, and I think depressed means you're going through the most. You're mm. going through everything, you know, that you possibly didn't imagine, you know.
Yeah.
You have to deal with your emotions. You have to deal with your feelings. You have to deal with the people around you. You have to deal with your thoughts. And there is so much
yeah.
that you have to deal with. Yeah. But you are drowning in yourself. Mm.
Yeah.
But because you must go out to the world again,
yeah.
because you must be present again,
yeah.
what are you going to do? You're going to wake up, wear a mask, and your life carries on.
This is so critical because it makes me think of most of us get our learnings on spirituality online.
Yeah.
And most of us are lazy to go read. You know, we just log on and we watch that video from that channel or go to Instagram Live or what, you know, or read up on or, you know, a post that someone posted. A lot of us follow people,
mm.
right? We're getting our information from Mkhuluwanibani, Gogowanibani, you know. And for me, it's like the whole persona thing is so critical because it brings into this into perspective this thing of what happens when you find out that that person isn't who you thought they were. I'll give you an example because for me it falls into this the world of cancel culture,
yeah.
right?
I'm actually doing research on cancel culture.
Cool, you know? And I'll give you the example of R. Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah. It was almost unanimous. Let's cancel R. Kelly. He's a horrible human being. He must rot in jail. But most people had this thing of, but what do I do with my memories? You know what I mean? What do I do with all those moments where his songs carried me through? You know? So in when you're speaking of personas, you will be following this Gogo for the longest time. For the past 3, 4, 5 years, they have been the one person that you sort of seek guidance from, even though you don't talk to them personally, right? A lot of your understanding of spirituality is based on them, on their what they have shared with you. And then it comes out that, you know, Gogo Wanibani did this, or Mkhulu did this, cancel, cancel, cancel. And then I'm here stuck with this information that I have based a big part of my life on, and I don't know what to do with it.
I think the biggest lesson for me and what Ubaba taught me is that, and Ubaba being my spiritual mother, father, however people will define it, is that we should never forget that we are also humans.
Mm.
And the spirit means we are being carried mm. by other people.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Other people who've also done their own worldly things.
Mm.
Other people who are also going through their most wherever they are.
Mm.
And being the spirit does not mean you are perfect.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Mm.
Being in spirit does not mean you are the Alpha and the Omega.
Mm.
Being in spirit does not mean you are a God.
Mm.
You are a human being who is just a messenger
mm.
sent or being carried yeah. by those that are carrying you.
Yeah.
My rendition of it.
Yeah.
right? My understanding of it. Now, the problem for me comes from a point where when people don't fully understand what it is that they're going through, or when they fully don't understand what this world is about. So that to a point, yokuthi ugogo spanban or umkhulu spanban now do something and they mess up. We forget that those people are humans. But because we've put them in this world, we've put them in a world where we think they are gods, and gods can never make mistakes. And that's the biggest problem for me. So I think an education element, and I think in everything that I've done, it's weird because this past week to me has literally been about educating yourself on everything that you're doing, right? And I think the biggest part is educating our people about what the spirit is. Because if you think about it, I had a conversation with my mom about this. And all my mom will say, Mom, jed gutsi somebody sango mananan. Hey, imoye mibi. Hey, in. Hey. Whereas in her own world, she grew up with certain teachings that have got to do with the spirit and culture and religion, all these things mixed up together, you know. But also it is honestly about just being in a space where you understand that your beliefs are your beliefs, and it's okay to believe whatever it is that you want to believe, but allow other people as well to go through whatever it is that they believe, right? And when those people make mistakes, they are not the devil, if I were to call them that.
And it doesn't invalidate what
it doesn't invalidate whatever it is that they did or what they taught you or what you learned. We are human, guys. We have CEOs that get fired. Does it mean that all the things that your CEO or your leaders or your managers or whatever, all the people around you have taught you is invalidated because they've messed up? No. There's a lot I learned from my ex-husband. Shitloads. You know, everything that he's done or everything that we've been through does not mean I did not learn the lessons that I needed to learn at whatever particular point. It's just the choices that we both decided to make to say, you know what, okay, sharp. It's not working. But when you sit down and you think about it, there are valuable lessons that we learned in the things that we did learn. So the same with spirit. I mean, there are people that walk in here and they go through the whole journey and then they decide with yo, merwalo e yankimel, bikisi. So do I cancel you because you've then now decided to take a different path or a different journey? I can't. Instead, I think in growing up also, and in having conversations and being engaged with people, is that you start learning that not everything is about this cancel culture that we talk about.
What are your thoughts on cancel culture?
Sure. It's funny you ask me this. I was sitting in a meeting 2 days ago. But I was speaking from brand perspective. Yeah. Look, I think, again, it goes back to education. People are allowed to express whatever it is that they want to express. Everybody, I mean, what is it? Freedom of speech. Because we're allowed to say whatever it is that we want to say, feel the way that we want to feel. I just feel that at times, because we say things out of emotion, we're not able to kind of think about it, you know, ask the whys, the hows, the whens, you know, and all of that. And I guess it's normal, you know, it's human behavior to go through the emotions at that particular point because they're high and, you know, you're fighting for a cause and you're fighting for your people and the beliefs that you have and so forth. However, it is also very important as well to kind of sit on the line, you know, on the fence and figure out what both sides mean or what's happening on both sides, you know, before you actually get to a point where you make a decision and you're like, you know what, actually I'm canceling smangmang or whatever, you know. You spoke of something very valid, Arkeli. Guys, we can't take away the fact that Arkeli gave us great music. We honestly can't. You know what I mean?
For many years,
you know. Yes, we do not agree with all the things that he's done, but the reality is that he was a talented man who gave us great music. You know, there's a trend now happening around Black Coffee being an abuser and. The reality is that he's a great DJ. He's given us great music. You know, what do? We cancel Black Coffee as well? You know, again, there's something I'm thinking about now. Why have I forgotten it? Jesus. But it's all around cancel culture. You know, it's all around So the cancel culture for me would be, I would cancel men completely if it were up to me. Because We get killed by men. We get abused by men. We get. There's so much to actually speak about. But how do we handle all those things? You know what I mean? So it becomes a really open topic, you know, and I kind of don't want to get shot for it. But it becomes a really open topic on why are we canceling? You know, what does cancel culture mean? You know, how do we work around cancel culture? How do we handle cancel culture? You know, what happens when now somebody must be canceled? You know, do we forget, Smangmang abused Smangmang because they went to court or whatever it is. If there's no, because our justice system is so bad, if that person is not arrested, if that person doesn't get beaten up or whatever, like, do we cancel that person? Do we forget about them? Do we carry on listening to their music? Do we carry on supporting them, going to gigs? You know, even just a Vusi, and I'm not saying you're an abuser or anything, but if you were to do anything out of your norm, does that mean we don't listen to your podcast? Does that mean we don't speak to you? Does that mean we just don't engage with you? What is it that we actually do? You know, I mean, even your friends, because that's a question I ask around men, to say men are doing all these things, but the people around them will still talk to them, they'll still support them, they will, like, life just carries on. So what are we actually canceling? Who are we canceling?
It's actually very critical that you know, it's very important what you bring across, because especially for men to be aware of this. And I think any normal, sane man is very much aware of the extent or the seriousness of cancel culture, especially if you're intending on becoming something big. You know, I think, when was it? Was it last year when the lists were coming out? You know, and I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine.
Just before COVID.
And the list were coming out. They were coming out at 2:30 in the morning. There's a list. The list is growing. And I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine. It's like, most guys are like, yo, all of us were forced to look at our history. All the way from primary school. You know, you had to have a review of all your girlfriends, you know. All your situationships, all your encounters, all your this, like, is there someone who's gonna come out and say,
my boss was actually on that list, a previous boss actually. So now that you speak about that, we were in Cape Town when it came out, and the screenshots started coming in. I'm sure nearly 12 or nearly 1. This is a crazy.
It's always in the morning. Like, you know, in the middle of the night.
When we woke up, he calls me and he says, Bundle, check your WhatsApp. I'll never forget. I'm sure it's nearly 5 or 6, and I'm like, yo, my meeting is not this early. Why? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Check your WhatsApp. Haki check. Kibulaya haye pele, because I'm like, okay, maybe important. Kibule ki kwal. Haki check a phone yaka vus. I'm like, okay, this thing's a real thing. Kitsuke klape men. I call him back and I'm like, okay, I don't know, I'm at my hotel, because we were at different hotels. I'm like, okay, do you want us to have early breakfast? What do you want to do? Let's, you know. My other directors were also in Cape Town, and one was landing. So we all go meet at the main hotel where the meeting is and stuff like that. We spent, I think, the first hour or two of the morning trying to figure out who would have sent a thing like this. The name. This person speaks of some of his characters, things that he would potentially say, you know. And it was funny.
So the description fits.
Yes. It was funny then, because I'm like, ah, Joe, but I can say this thing about you, because this is you. You know, like, we all know that this is you. But for this person to be brave enough to go put it on Twitter, umenze. Dude, from, hey, we sat down, you know, we're like, okay, but could it be, who are you dating recently? Who, you know, what was happening? Who did you engage with? Who did you, until today, which is 2 years later, every time something happens around him and there's woman, he'll be like, yo,
I'm out.
I keep out to jwetsa hore ke ripilwe, ke tshwere mang, ke abusitse mang mang verbally, hey. And I swear to God, it has sat with him ever since.
It has sat with most of us. I don't know if women actually know this. That period, it stayed with most of us. Whether you are guilty or not, you had to sit and think, like, yo, there was one time after the club and everybody was drunk and nobody knew what happened and this and this and this, and then you're not sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think all of us, not all of us, if you are a conscious person, a self-conscious person, you have to think about it. What it brings across as well, what it brings up is that, for me, the feminist movement has found a lot of power online.
Sure.
Probably more than any other movement.
Yeah.
In terms of the period, the length of time it has sustained itself. You know, there have been political movements, you know, there was the Arab Spring, there was this, there was that, which were things that sort of were boiling and then got to a peak.
Yeah.
And it exploded into the streets. And then after that, it died down again. Whereas the feminist movement has been very much sustained
and
it has had very solid, what do you call hashtag? What do you call the movement? There's Me Too. There were, you know what I mean?
So it depends on what the hashtag is about.
Yes.
So you can call, so for example, BLM is a movement and we can't move away from it.
Yes.
So it all depends on what that hashtag is about.
What is
some
it
of
about?
Them are literally just campaigns where a client is running a campaign or somebody's doing something.
Yeah.
So it just depends.
What is it about the feminist movement that has given it so much power through online? What is it that about the mechanism of social media that has given
women
it so much power?
Women have always wanted to be heard, you know. I guess it goes back to societal pressures and culture and everything else that is us. You know, I'm not a feminist, but there are times when my feminism comes out.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'm human. That women want to be heard, you know, and because we're now living in such a vile world, you know, now we're living in a world where men cannot protect us, whereas the narrative growing up is that men are providers, they're protectors, and so forth. I think it comes and it stems from that, you know what I mean? And again, because social media again is literally you behind the keyboard, you are able to express and say whatever it is that you want to say, because you want to be heard, you want to be seen, you want people to notice you as well. And I think from that, with everything that's been happening around men in society, this is why feminism has gotten to a point where the traction never dies down. You know, if you look back in the years, we never used to have, I'll call them celebrities, right? Celebrities who are feminists who would speak forward, and now 60% of them are. You know what I mean? Where does that come from? Why are they vocal now? Why did we not have these conversations when we joined Twitter in 2007? You know what I mean? Why were we not open about these conversations when Facebook was a thing? You know, I mean, there's just so many questions around it. But I think the crux of it is that social media has given us a voice, you know, a voice that we don't have in society and in public, you know. If I walk into the office now and all my directors and all my seniors are here, Bona, I'm probably, well, not me, but as an example, is that I probably walk in and I probably wouldn't say half of the things that I want to say or act the way that I want to act. Why? Because now you're intimidated by all the power that's in the office. Whereas on social media, I won't give a fuck. Who's who? Because all of us have some sort of power on social media. You know what I mean? And again, it speaks to the personas and the personalities of who we are as people and so forth. And I'm a person that is very open, and I can walk into a room of 1,000 people and say what it is that I want to say. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm conscious and I'm cautious of the things that I talk about and how I talk about them. However, I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to host a show. I'm not afraid to have a podcast session. I'm not afraid to sit in an office, you know, as a new staff member and say, actually, you're messing up, you know. And I'm not afraid to say, but there are different ways to doing things. Can you not explore? Can you? So I'm a risk taker, and it's normal for me. But there are people that don't have my personality that will hide behind the keyboard. They will tweet these things. They will Facebook. They will whatever other platform it is that they use for all these things. And look, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying, for me, it becomes a power thing where you feel like you've got the power and you're heard on those platforms and you matter.
Yeah.
You know, because people will treat you in a sense, on social media, oh, then Buntle said this or whatever, you know. So for me, it's a power thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's also, like I said, also it's hiding behind your keyboard. You know, it's a sad reality. Mm. It really is, because uzotholukuthi there are people abathulile in real life, introverts, but on social media they're extroverts. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's just social media has just become a place where people are wearing different masks. People are just different people. And once you log off, or once you move away from all of that, you're back to being who you are. But all those people don't know you.
Yeah.
All those people have never sat with you in a room. You know, all those people couldn't be bothered whether you had coffee this morning or you had water or whatever it is that you had. They don't care. They honestly do not care. You know, and it's funny because an ex of mine used to say to me, you're always posting WhatsApp statuses, you're always posting on social media, you're always saying things, giving about that validation, you know? Mm. Why must you always post things? Why must you always? And I'm like, that is who I am, right? I'm not seeking validation. I'm not seeking any attention. It is me. If you actually took your time and got to know me, you will know that I'm a very vocal person, you know, whether serious, whether social, whether jokingly, or whatever it is, you know, you will know the type of person I am. I don't seek validation, you know. I mean, I met you on social media, but I don't think my persona is very different to what I've portrayed on social media. And I've kept that consistent, you know. But there are other people you will meet and you're going to be like, but this is not you. This is not the person I know on Facebook. You know, hey, Facebook, you know, there's just so many things to it, you know. So
how would you sort of teach an ordinary person, or what would your advice be to an ordinary person as to how to use social media to learn about any topic or spirituality in a way that they don't end up getting clouded by unnecessary things?
I think first things first, it's about understanding the platform and why social media is there, right? The whys mean, I mean, we now go as far as having social media lawyers, you know? So understanding the social media realm, meaning why social media, why these platforms, what these platforms do, what happens if I post this, you know? What are the laws around all the things that I do? How does it affect that? How does it affect my personality, my career, the people I engage with, and so forth and so forth? Also, it then just, goes back into your interpersonal relationship with yourself, right? Meaning, who are you? What are you driven by? What do you want? You know, how do you block out the noise? You know, so it's a psychological thing that goes on. You know, I'm reading, I haven't finished the book because you can't finish that book. You know, it's a book called Surrounded by Idiots, and it speaks about the four elements of a human. So the different colors, the red, the yellow, the blue, and the green, you know. And if you are a red, you're a certain type of person. If you're a blue, you're a certain type of person. If you're a green, you're a certain type. And if you're a yellow, you're a certain type. So also, it is just understanding yourself, you know. You'll never get yourself right. I mean, in communication, you're also taught about the four windows again of a human being, or rather on communication. And there are things that other people will teach you about you. And just as people, we need to be open to all these things, because we're now living in a fast-paced world, you know. So that means I need to listen more than speak more, you know, because listening more will help me understand why people commit suicide because of societal pressures being social media, you know, why people feel the pressure of wearing the Gucci, Lady LV, why people now feel the pressure of having to go hire these things for Instagram, you know, why people, I mean, we had that trend where these girls were pimps and whatnot because of social media, you know, and now then there was makeup, and then there was all these things happening, you know. So it's just going back and tapping into those spaces to say, who are you? You know, what is your why? You know, I think once we're able to answer our whys in life, it also kind of makes it easier to then carry out the hows, you know. So I think my parting message in all of this is that be true to yourself, as hard as it is. You know, self-love is not an easy thing. I can tell you that for free. You know, it's we preach self-love, we talk about self-love, and self-love is not bubbles and rose petals and all of that nonsense. It's all part of the ill of taking care of yourself. But the biggest self-love for me is very emotional and mental, because I guess the mind and the heart work together some way or the other. So that's what it is for me, you know, because once we take care of our mental health, and I know that is Mental Health Month now, April or May, somewhere there. I don't know which month it is. But we talk a lot about mental health because of the things that are happening in our society. That for me is the beginning of self-love. Yeah. You know, once you are able to kind of figure things out and go through things and so forth, you start loving yourself more, you know? And I'll give a personal example, and people always wonder why I talk about my personal experiences, but I talk about things just openly, is that I was in a relationship with this guy and everything was great, you know what I mean? And I think the lesson about self-love came from that, again, to say, because I've been in an abusive relationship before, right? I promised myself I'd never go back there. And I was like, I'm not going to let social media fool me, whatever. I need to heal. I need to deal with that. But I did go through the pressures of social media because Mang Mang Liana did this. And, you know, they did that. They spoke to Smang Mang. But I had to learn to block out that noise for my own reasons. And when I was in this relationship, this person was going through a lot of grief and a lot of emotion and whatnot and whatnot, to a point where we were arguing and he literally pulled his hand across, slapped me on my chest. And I was like, I'm not staying for all of that. Mind you, in your head, nyan in two. You know what I mean? I mean, you can talk through it, you can work through it. But my self-love was, I'm not going to make excuses for the next person on why I'm clapping. You get what I mean? I'm not going to make excuses for the next person. Why did they react the way that they did? My self-love is, Katlego, you're going to walk out of this thing, because you're not going to have to make excuses. You're not going to have to deal with the next slap. You're not going to have to deal with these things, because what it does is that ingvusele awam amanxeba from my previous experiences. But because I don't want to go back to that hole, yes, I'll forgive you. But a part of me loving myself means I need to do better for myself. I'm not going to stay in spaces where I've experienced look, it is abuse, but whatever white people want to call it, because English is such a broad thing and everybody wants to define what abuse is, you know? So that's where self-love begins, guys, you know? And I think the lesson there is, what do I want for Katlego? You know, how do I grow for Katlego? You know, if I'm going to use social media, what content do I choose to consume? You know what I mean? And if I've consumed this type of content and it's confusing for me, which is the spirit again, do I go back to people who know more? Because litikobela zaruna or zangoma nana, they don't know more than what it is that they are gifted with. Social media is a beast. The internet is a beast on its own, and we cannot control it. However, we just need to be cognizant of the things that we are consuming. So to your point again, and I know I kind of derailed there, is that let us educate ourselves on whatever topics. So even the spirit world, you know, read whatever it is that you're going to read. But if you're able, consult your elders, you know, consult people you feel you can trust. Trust is a thing. It's an instinct also. You know, there are certain things you feel where you're like, ayazin, let me go ask this person. But because of pressures, we're like, we want quick wins. We want quick solves. And social media has done that for us, you know? So there's a lot to unpack, basically.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Oh.
In a 2016 internal report, Facebook found that its algorithm tended to focus more on negative content than it did for positive content. And this is because the algorithm found that negative content actually generated far more engagement than any other form of content on the platform. What this in turn meant was that the more divisive the content, the more harmful and the worse it made people feel, the more money Facebook actually made. The Wall Street Journal reported that Facebook actually shut down any attempts to make their algorithm less harmful to its users. The reality that we are facing is that spirituality online is not immune to the functioning of social media.
just because it relates to something that me and you define as sacred does not mean that it will not be affected by things like misinformation or being exploited by people who just want to make a name for themselves. And it also doesn't mean that the social media algorithm will not use harmful content related to spirituality in order to keep you engaged and therefore make money for the platform. I think that is important to understand that your journey into spirituality cannot start when you log on to social media and stop when you log off. I believe that a healthier relationship with social media starts with being honest with yourself about how these platforms actually affect you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. My personal struggle with social media comes in the form of what I call the mindless scroll. That's when I find myself endlessly scrolling for no clear reason. There's that friend of mine who just got a new job. And there's another one who is threatening suicide. My other friend just lost their mother. The other one is getting married. I have a friend who's deep in the throes of depression. And I have another one who's been struggling to find a job for years. And this other one is going through something else. And that one is going through something else. And this one and that one. And so on and so on and so on and so on. And I scroll down and down and down. And it seems as if nothing catches my interest. It's the emotional numbness that I struggle with. To be bombarded with so much human feeling and yet to come out not feeling anything at all. I find myself having to ask, what are you looking for? Are you looking for something to make you feel something? And what is it that you're trying to feel? What is it that you're hoping to feel? I'd like to extend these questions to you. When you unlock your phone and you scroll through your apps, what are you looking for? What are you hoping to feel? What is it that you are hoping to get? Gone are the days when we used to use social media as an escape, because nowadays you can come out a triggered mess, feeling far worse than how you went in. So I ask again, what are you looking for? When you go onto Mkhulu's Facebook, what are you looking for? When you go onto Gogo's Instagram, Gogo's YouTube, what is it that you're looking for? The most profound thing that Katleho said was that it starts with self-love. That is your compass. It is self-love that is the guiding principle. And it is self-love that will guide you in finding the right content that is good, not just for your entertainment, but also for your spirit. My name is Vusum Zinlande. Thank you so much for joining me on yet another episode of The Journey Kwantu. I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the best on your journey. Makwande.